So the Brexit saga continues. Last night, MPs voted to reject a no-deal Brexit under any circumstances.
The ayes to the right, 321. The noes to the left, 278. Yes!
Well, former Tony Blair communications chief and a staunch Remainer, Alistair Campbell, with us this morning. Morning, Alistair.
Hi there, how are you?
Good morning, I'm doing okay, thank you. And the TV leader and MLA never asks where I am, Jim Alistair. Good morning, Jim.
I'm well, and I hope you are too.
Oh, that's a change of tack. Good morning, Mr. Alistair. So, Alistair Campbell, what should happen now? We've got another vote in the Commons today, but it just seems vote after vote. And does anything change? Has anything changed, Alistair?
Well, it's clear that yesterday the MPs voted, showed clearly that they're very, very opposed to leaving without an agreement. It doesn't change the fact that in law, if we get to March the 29th and nothing has changed, then that is the default position. But I think, you know, the idea of this government, this Prime Minister, limping on much longer in this way, given the damage that they're doing to our reputation abroad, given the damage that's being done to the economy. So listen, I hope that what happens in the next few days do show that Parliament tries to take a look at all the different Brexit options that there are. If they can agree one, fine, but I don't think they will. And I think at some point this whole thing has to go back to the people. And I think that I just cannot for the life of me see how it can be considered to be undemocratic to ask the people, given so much has changed, given that the Brexit that was promised is undeliverable, given the Brexit Theresa May's deal represents is such a mess, how it can be undemocratic to say to the people, on the basis of what we now know, do you wish to continue with this?
Jim Alistair?
Well, my response to what's been happening in Parliament this week is that what we've seen unfold before our eyes is the betrayal of Brexit by the Remain Parliament. And now the Prime Minister wants to use that circumstance to try and bludgeon a Parliament into accepting a deal they've already rejected twice. And I do have to say, any self-respecting MP who has any principle will not allow themselves to be bludgeoned in that way. As to this demand from those who never wanted Brexit in the first place that we must have another vote, that is such a repudiation, such a condescending repudiation of the people of the United Kingdom that it's an untenable position.
It's people like you, Alistair Campbell, he's talking about.
Yes, we decided to leave. We decided to leave unconditionally. Parliament has denied us that, and it's Parliament who needs to take a good look at itself as to why it's defying the people. This is a Parliament who's voting against the people.
Well, you say that the people voted to leave, and that is a statement of fact. The majority voted to leave. But the idea that every single form of Brexit that was put, and you could say Brexit went one thing, Boris Johnson could say it meant another, Nigel Farage could say it meant another, Jacob Rees-Mogg could say it meant another. Now that we've seen what Brexit is, I think people are beginning to realise they were sold a complete pup. And your problem, if I may say with all due respect, your problem is that your side of the argument has never put forward a detailed proposal, a plan, that turns into law, that turns into international treaties, and that what I can see happening with people like you and Farage and the rest of them, you actually prefer the betrayal narrative to actually trying to deliver what you fought for and what you say you wanted. So don't talk to me about us coming along and being unpatriotic or trying to revert the will of the people. The will of the people can change, and I believe has changed, the more that they've seen the absolute chaos that you people have inflicted upon the country.
Well, let me say to that, the people knew what they were voting for. David Cameron, Remainer, told them as
Did
Prime
they know
Minister.
The detail?
Sorry.
How could they have known the detail about the backstop? How could they have known, Jim Alistair, that there would be an offer made where the Republic of Ireland would not have to pay any tariffs for goods coming up here, but businesses in Northern Ireland may have to pay tariffs for sending it back down to Dublin? Was any of that talked about before the referendum?
Stephen, I look forward to you interrupting your other guest before he gets making any points. let's be very clear. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, who called the referendum, who was a Remainer, made it abundantly clear that if we left, we were leaving the customs union, we were leaving the single market. That is the essence of Brexit. You might as well say to me, people didn't know what they were voting for when they voted to remain. What sort of remain does Alistair Campbell want? Does he want to remain where the EU forms its own army? Does he want to remain where the EU takes over our tax codes, decides that there will be a universal a corporation tax? There are as many varieties of remain as there are varieties of leave, and yet I never on the BBC hear anyone berated for voting remain, not knowing what they were voting for. We voted to leave, and leave we should. And frankly, I think many MPs who want to see us leave should be reaching the point where they should vote out this government. Then by law we leave on the 29th of March. If there has to be an election, there has to be an election. The democratic compulsion is to leave, and Parliament has been thwarting that. And as I say, voting down the people.
And Jacob Rees-Mogg also made this point yesterday, Alistair Campbell, last night when he said... Look, I'm paraphrasing what he said, but he said the vote of Parliament is insignificant compared to the 17-odd million people who instructed Parliament what to do.
He also said, and he's right, that the default position, as I said earlier, is that in legislation, if nothing changes between now and March and the 29th, we leave. But we leave into absolute chaos, and we do not leave on the basis of, quotes, people knew what they were voting for. Yes, people voted to leave, but let's not pretend, Jim, let's not pretend that every single person who voted leave, and by the way, I will accept, if you will accept that some leave voters have changed their minds, I'll accept that some remain voters have changed their mind. But the point is, you now have a situation, Theresa May bangs on about democracy, right? And she says it would do terrible things to our democracy if we actually allowed the people to express a view. When her entire strategy now consists of saying to the MPs, nothing has changed, nothing has changed, nothing has changed, let's vote again. And nobody can pretend that where we are now represents what people thought they were voting for in June 2016.
And what state would this country be in, Alistair Campbell, if there were to be another referendum and Remain won it by a small majority, equally as small as it went the other way, if it was 52-48 for Remain? Like, what state would this country be in with all of those Brexiteers demanding yet another vote?
Listen, what state is this country in now? When people say another referendum would be divisive, of course it would be divisive, because it's a massive argument about the future of the country. But we are not going to unite this country around, we're certainly not going to unite the country around crashing out without a deal, because that is chaos and catastrophe. We are not going to unite the country around Theresa May's deal unless, in my view, unless she has the balls to put that to the people on the basis that it is so different to the Brexit that was promised. And, you know, I honestly do believe this idea that it's undemocratic to say to people, do you want to proceed on this basis? And if Jim is so confident that the will of the people hasn't changed, then write out your plan for Brexit. Say what it would mean in terms of a treaty, say how the economy would actually function, and then see whether you've got support for it. What is wrong with that?
What's wrong with that, Jim?
What's wrong with that is that the people have already been asked the question, and they've decided, but you know, this talk about a second referendum, those who advocate it are in fact advocating that we should have a referendum for Remainers only, because the question they want is, do you want Mrs. May's disastrous deal, or do you want to remain? Well, that's not a choice that gives anyone who wants to leave an option.
Right. The
question of remain shouldn't even be on the ballot paper if people respect the original decision, because that choice has already been made. So if there were to be a referendum, the question should be, do you want Mrs. May's disastrous deal, or do you want to leave with no deal?
But MPs have ruled out, Jim. Do you not respect the will of Parliament in that MPs last night.
Only if it suits them.
Ruled out Jim Allister a no deal under any circumstances.
Sorry, the same MPs legislated that we would leave unconditionally twice in the withdrawal bill, now the act. They passed.
But the vote.
We leave
but,
on the 29th of but, March. But it wasn't conditional on there being a deal.
But the most recent, the most recent test, Jim Allister, of the will of the House of Parliament is that we should not leave under any circumstances in a no deal scenario. Are you saying
binding.
That should now be ignored? It's not legally binding. Morally binding?
Well, you're saying that something that isn't legally binding should bind us.
No.
Why should it?
No, I'm asking you, what's the point of any vote in Parliament if Democrats like you just say, ignore it? Indeed, what's the point of Parliament?
No, the point of Parliament is to pass the law. And if Parliament wants to change the law, to change its mind about the 29th of March, then there's a way to do it, and that's through a bill and through legislation. It has chosen not to do that. It has chosen rather to pontificate through motions, which are not binding. So, you know, the law is the law, and unless and until it's changed,
Let me also get your understanding, Jim, and what the British government have proposed in terms of these tariffs in Northern Ireland. If there were to be this no-deal scenario, which you support, And the United Kingdom on the 29th of March leaves the EU. The British government has said that they will not do any checks and there will be no tariffs from goods coming up into Northern Ireland. The Irish government have refused to reciprocate, so that would mean that Northern Irish business exporting to the south would be at a disadvantage. Is that what a representative in Northern Ireland like you should be supporting?
No. Let me say two things about that. First of all, if this government hadn't been neglectful of its duty to prepare for no deal, we wouldn't be in this last-minute situation.
But the reality for business is we are where we are. So what do you say to those farmers and those businesses whose livelihoods depend on exporting to the south? They may be paying tariffs and the Republic will not. For goods coming up here, what do you say to those businesses?
The government say that's only temporary, but that's not a good situation to be in. Look, I don't shy away from the fact that if we leave the EU, there's a border, and I don't buy into this hysteria that you can't have a border. Of course, you have a border if you're a separate nation state from the EU, and it's the EU's border.
You're still not answering the question.
The EU is the only party.
You're not answering the question. What do you say
on the border,
Jim Allister? You're not answering the question. What do you say to the Northern Irish businesses who, in a few weeks' time, if you get your way, may be at a profound disadvantage to the Republic? What do you say to them?
I'm not happy with what the government has proposed at all, but I do. Point this out.
But do it anyway.
Let me finish. If the government proceeded as they suggested hurriedly yesterday and had tariffs from the Republic to GB, then they devastate the Republic's agri-food industry because it sells so much to GB. That would in fact create an opportunity for Northern Ireland producers to fill that resulting void. So it's not all doom and gloom, but it's not a happy picture. It's not a picture that should have emerged because government should have been preparing yonks ago. And government should not be running away from the reality that when you leave, you have a border, and there's nothing in the Belfast Agreement which prevents a border. There's nothing which says that you cannot have whatever you need on the border, and there's nothing that says that you must have uniformity of regulation.
Right. Listen, I know you both need to go, so thank you very much. Alistair Campbell, Jim Allister, thank you listening to that. Mark Devenport, our political editor, good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Stephen.
So I reckon people are voted out now, and that, you know, it's gripping, but do they know, oh my goodness, what all these votes mean? Because it seems to be that we go from one vote to another, and yet there's another tonight now. Tell us about this.
Yeah, that's true. Brexit fatigue is definitely setting in, but these are important moments. Tonight, MPs will get to vote on whether the government should seek an extension. Now, it's almost bound in almost any circumstances to seek an extension because the clock has run down. It's the 14th of March. We're due to leave the EU on the 29th of March, even if everything went smoothly for Theresa May and her withdrawal agreement. And of course, that is a very big if. They would still need a technical extension, probably until the end of June, in order to cross the T's and dot the I's. The question now really will be whether they go for that or whether MPs signal that they want a longer extension, which brings the possibility of an entire rethink, a second referendum or something like that coming into play.
So, Mark, is the prospect of Brexit not happening at all any more realistic after that vote last night, which ruled out this country, Northern Ireland and indeed Great Britain, in other words, the United Kingdom, leaving in a no-deal scenario? It wasn't legally binding, but that was expressing the majority will of the House of Parliament.
Well, it certainly does raise the possibility of a longer extension. Just this morning, the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, who would be the person that Theresa May would have to write to asking for an extension, he says that he will appeal to the EU27 to be open to a long extension if the UK finds it necessary to rethink its Brexit strategy and build consensus around it. So, you know, that rethink could, I suppose, include no Brexit whatsoever. That said, a lot of people around Westminster still believe that in this kind of last gasp politics that we're involved in right now, that Theresa May will bring back her deal on Tuesday or Wednesday next week before an EU summit, which is due to happen next week, and that possibly at the last moment she might still get the approval of the DUP, might still get it through. And that's why conversations are going on right now between the DUP and the government as the government tries to work out if there's anything else they can offer by way of assurance to the DUP to get them on side.
I see on the news wires this morning, Mark, this is just dropped, that the reporting that the Irish Foreign Minister has said the transition period would last somewhere between 2 and 4 years.
Right, well, I'm not absolutely sure what he's referring to there. Obviously, if there was a deal, we would should be having a two-year transition period in any case to see the UK going out. So if things were going smoothly, then obviously you would still probably have a two-year transition period. Would it be a longer transition period if you put off the Article 50 and when that would finally bite? Well, obviously it would. So either way, it looks like we will probably have an extension to the whole timetable, whether we're leaving or not, unless, of course, as we pointed out, we don't have a transition period at all and we have this crash Brexit on March the 29th, in which case things will be very fast but rather torrid.
Mark, thank you very much. Peter and Yuri. Morning, Peter.
Hello, Stephen. I just like to make an inquiry here about the panel there. Like, I recently made on, made redundant. And I would like to know, what sort of things are put in there in place, Ron, me go back onto the dole, as such, and back onto the dole, all this stuff is going on. It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't get any extra money on my dole, whether, regardless of you go in or you go out on this Brexit stuff, you still get the same money. Do you know what I mean? You're still doing a £70, whatever it is a week. It doesn't affect me at all.
But I think obviously, for people in employment or for people seeking employment,
yes,
they're wondering whether Brexit will or will not improve their job prospects,
yes,
and the wider economy, because, you know, an economy's prospering, then many of us prosper.
The people on the dole's not, like.
Yeah. Well, I hear you. Peter, thank you. Jim and Dunpatrick. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was listening to the conversation there and I mean, they're talking about a people's vote. Let's put this back to the people. And Jim Allister in particular, as he always does, is saying that it's so undemocratic. Now, we had a meaningful vote, Mark 1. It was turned down. It didn't get through the House. So she changed the full stop to a comma and brought it back again, a minimum vote 2. turned down, and now she's talking about the Hank Brandt at MB3. Now, that is undemocratic. That is Theresa May and the UK government saying they're not listening to the members, the MPs. That is undemocratic. What should have happened in negotiating is that the UK should have asked for an option. Okay, the people have decided we want to leave, so we leave on the 29th of March. But can we have an option, please, of rejoining within the next 3 years and rejoining within our existing terms? The same terms, the same trade tariffs that we're receiving at the minute. And then at the next general election, which will probably be sooner rather than later, have another referendum then.
Jim, thank you. The businessman Erwin Armstrong with us today. Erwin, you're a Brexiteer. This is a mess. Is it a mess because people voted for Leave? Or is it a mess because the government can't implement what the people voted for? But it's a mess, a complete, like Parliament over the last couple of weeks and what's been happening. You had the government whipping against their own motion, for goodness sake, last night. It is a farce, is it not?
A new word entered our vocabulary a couple of years ago, and I think it can be well applied to this, and that word was omni-shambles. And it has been a complete omni-shambles from beginning to end. We have a government that, if they were a business, would have been out of business a long time
ago.
Well,
you're a Tory.
I am, but I make no apologies for the fact that the government, or the party I'm a member of, or the government, which comes from that party, has made a complete and utter mess of this. They entered it, number one, they did not come up with what they wanted within a very short period of time of the referendum. Number two, they agreed to put the Irish border on the withdrawal agreement whenever we had no idea what the trade deal was going to be. It should never have been allowed to be put there. They accepted it. Then they were moving forwards. Then the DUP said, no, you can't do that. The whole thing has been conducted in a complete and utter shambles.
Theresa May is going to go for this vote again next week. Do you think she'll get her deal through third time lucky?
I suspect, and I think it was Ollie Robbins, her chief advisor, said several weeks ago, what we'll do is we'll run this down to the clock and we'll get the people to either vote for Theresa May's deal or get a two-year extension. And I think, looking at it now, I think probably what he said was the truth. This has been planned all along. Do I think she'll get it through next week? I think, as a Brexiteer, and I think it's a terrible deal, another terrible negotiation. But if we don't, I think we are left with the very real prospect that there will never be a Brexit, because at the moment we have three choices: a deal, no deal, or remain. And if you don't have a deal, whether it's now or over the next 2 years or 4 years, you automatically then have to default to either no deal or remain. And,
okay,
you know, talk of a referendum for the people. And I think...
Erwin, let me say thank you, because I want to bring in some more callers as well. Kieran in South Belfast. Thank you, Erwin. Morning, Kieran.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
No, it's just all over. Jim Allister, for instance, he really winds me up when he turns around and says, Britain voted to leave. Yes, Britain voted to leave. Northern Ireland voted to remain. 3% is a difference.
He would tell you it was a UK-wide poll.
3% was a difference in this. There should be another referendum done. Forget about the extension. Another referendum. Over 3%. That's very little. And it's enough for another referendum.
And if you won this time as a Remainer, why shouldn't the Leavers get another one after that?
Well, then again, it depends on how much it is then the next time. So if it's the same percent, 3%, 3%, maybe another one. But until there's a majority, maybe about 15% of a difference, then you might have just to stop at that, you know?
And Robert, morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, with Stormont not operational this past 2 years, are we on the brink of Westminster rule?
What do you mean?
what I mean? Very simple. After the way this whole Brexit crisis is happening here, it's pretty clear that we're heading down the road to Westminster rule here, because there's no, there seems no.
Did you see what Michael Gove said last night? Michael Gove, senior minister in the Tory government, was essentially saying in a no deal scenario they would be looking at direct rule.
Well, there you go. Well, that's the way it's heading here, because
what's that going to do to stability in Northern Ireland?
Well, who's running the country now, Stephen? The civil servants are running the country now. Stormont has been operational the past 2 years.
Robert, thank you. I'm just looking at the clock here, and unfortunately we're out of time. My goodness.